What's going on, listeners? I'm Aaliyah Mia Garcia, aka Aaliyah Mia Sweets, America's sweetheart, your favorite candy girl, and you're listening to Wrestle Life Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestle Life Radio. My name is Matt Sin, and this is Indie Focus. Indie Focus is a show where we sit down with someone who's working or has worked in independent wrestling, and we learn more about them. Hashtag support indie wrestling. And today, we have returning, finally, for a full interview, Killa Kate. How's it going?
It's going pretty good. Excited to be back.
I'm really glad you're back. I'm really excited to hear about how the professor treated you, how Mania Weekend treated you. It's going to be a fun conversation.
Oh, yes. that was quite a week.
I bet. Now, before we get into that, though, I want to know a little bit about you as a person. So we're going to talk a lot about wrestling, but let's move that to the side for a minute. Tell me a little bit about what else you enjoy. What do you do in your free time?
In my free time, I've really been enjoying getting out into nature and kind of like going on hiking, kind of with the recent pandemic and stuff like that. That's kind of been one of my go-to things. As always, I'm a big video games fan. And then I also like doing like grappling, like Brazilian jiu-jitsu is my other martial art that I kind of enjoy.
That's really awesome. That's super cool. So we're going to pause Wrestle Life Radio for a second. We're going to talk about Mass Effect Radio briefly. Because I told you we would. I told you we would do this.
Yes.
So have you played the remake at all?
I've dived into it for about like an hour or so. So far I've had time to do that. But it looks freaking gorgeous. Mass Effect 1 is my favorite game of all time. I must have played that one like, I don't know, 10 to 15 times. Like a crazy amount.
Yeah.
I first rented it, I remember, and now like it looks so gorgeous and stuff like that. So it's really cool to see that.
Yeah, I'm really excited. We're supposed to be picking it up this weekend. So by the time you listeners are hearing this, I'm probably playing Mass Effect at this very moment. So Mass Effect is really special to me, one, because it's amazing, but two, because when my wife and I started dating, I bought her an Xbox 360 with the original Mass Effect.
Aww.
And she's not like a giant gamer, but she moved away after we were only dating a couple months, and I bought her a couple multiplayer games and that one because she loves sci-fi, and she has replayed that trilogy, gosh, 5 to 10 times.
Yes.
I couldn't tell you. So it's so good, and it's different every time. Now, your first playthrough, your main playthrough, and then we're going to talk about wrestling, I promise.
Okay.
Your main playthrough, tell me what kind of character you play each time.
I honestly, when I rented it, I didn't really know a lot about it. So the first time I played it, I kind of played like just the generic default character,
soldier, or whatever it is.
Actually, I think that's the one thing I did customize. I was a Vanguard, so okay. I've been Vanguard since day one. But yeah, honestly, that's how I customize it and stuff like that. But I pretty much played the kind of the default settings and that, and just getting to play that and stuff when I was younger was really just interesting. Cause I too is a big sci-fi fan, so that's definitely one of my favorite genres, and basically a dream game, right? You get to fly around a spaceship and travel to planets.
Apparently in the remake, you don't have to sit in the elevator for an hour either, so that's always fun.
Yes, I saw that they kept it where you can skip it, or you can still listen to the conversation, so.
That is so cool. That's so awesome. Okay, and the real question, Paragon or Renegade?
A little bit of a mix of both, actually. Like, I feel like I'm more of a Paragon and like, the situations, but more like with when talking to people, I'm more of like a renegade, like, all right, more of like a wisecracking kind of person.
That's awesome. I generally play Paragon, but I punch the reporter every
time.
You have to, right?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. All right, back to Wrestle Life Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for that hanging out with us for that brief moment of Mass Effect Radio, the debut of Mass Effect Radio. But we're back with Wrestle Life Radio and Killa Kate. So let's talk about some professional wrestling. Did you watch a lot of wrestling when you were growing up?
Actually, no, I didn't. I didn't get into wrestling until I was probably, I want to say like high school age. Yeah. So wrestling wasn't a part of my growing up. My family wasn't into wrestling. Like they knew of it, right? But they weren't watchers or stuff like that.
Right.
So I just stumbled upon it, honestly. On TV one day when I was just flipping through the channels, and I was like, what is this? Like, started watching it, and then I was a kid of the internet, so of course I started like googling it and stuff like that on and being like, what is this? What are all the YouTube stuff? And when YouTube was early, and being like, I have to know more, because I was just enthralled by, like, you know, it's basically athletic entertainment. And I was like, oh, I like martial arts and I like entertainment. Yeah. So
that's really cool. So usually, like, it's so interesting. Usually I'm like, hey, tell me who did you adore as a kid? But you didn't really have that problem. Like when you, or that blessing, I guess I should say, when you first started watching wrestling, you were already older. So, like, who were some of your favorites as you first started watching?
Definitely when I first started watching, I was really into, the big one is Randy Orton. I was just like, amazed by, like, this dude's like a killer basically on TV. I was like, this dude's ruthless and stuff like that. So he was one of my favorites. And I actually liked, like, Mickie James was another one. I was a big fan of hers that time, stuff like that. So those are the two that kind of stick out the most to me.
That's really cool. So where did you actually train?
I originally trained at a school called DFW All Pro that's here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Under a name, guy named Lou Gotti. You might not know him, but he runs VIP Wrestling.
Okay.
Yeah, and he also trained Michael Tarver of Nexus. So it was a little bit of something. And then I also train at the Dojo, which is also in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, under Ember Moon, Matthew Palmer, and Knight Davis are the trainers there.
So, okay. Yeah. That's cool. Now, the Dojo, does that have, because I know Ember Moon, a lot of times she works with Reality of Wrestling. Does that have any relation?
Yeah, it does have a relation. Ember used to train at Reality of Wrestling when she was in Texas. So they kind of have, like, a relationship in that aspect of, like, you know. But it's definitely further away. It's about, like, a 5-6 hour drive. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Not close.
No. Yeah, not super close.
Yeah. So let's talk about the current product. Are you watching any of WWE or AEW, New Japan? Are you watching anything on television today?
Honestly, I'm not really good at keeping up. Like, I try to watch the pay-per-views or catch up on that aspect. Or sometimes I'll watch AEW Dark a lot recently. But there's just so much content nowadays. Like even Impact, Ring of Honor, there's just so much. So I do find myself mostly looking at, like, YouTube for matches that I specifically want to watch and stuff like that. So more so what I do now is I kind of, like, find a wrestler that I want to watch a lot of their matches and just look those up in a way. But the current product is just, there's so much good wrestling. That's also the thing too. It's not, you know, it's not bad. It's
right.
There's just so much, right?
Right. Not totally understand. And AEW just announced they're going to have another hour. Mm-hmm. And they already have, like, 40 hours a week on YouTube.
Yeah.
Ha ha ha. I joke. It's a lot, right? They've got Dark and Elevation, then of course you have Dynamite, which 2 hours on TV is probably not enough for that roster, but, you know, and then of course you have WWE, which is always on.
Yeah.
Always, you know, three major shows, and you've got Impact, like, every day. Like, there's not a day of the week, really. It's very rare that you can't find live wrestling happening.
Yeah, exactly.
It is hard to keep up with. When I was a kid, I just watched everything. Mm-hmm. Now there's no way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of more so as, like, I feel like we've become more of, like I said, a pick and choose audience. It kind of reminds me of, like, Netflix binging or something like that, in a way of where people will hear about stuff either word of mouth, or they'll watch maybe their favorite wrestlers' matches. But that's kind of how we consume content now, just because there's so much. Like, it's just impossible for everyone to watch it all.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, I will follow a specific wrestler. So, and I think that's kind of what you were touching on. Like, if I want to watch, you know, AJ Styles matches, maybe I will watch Raw, but I'm not watching Raw. I'm going to go back and I'm going to watch his match, because I'm a huge fan of AJ Styles, instead of sitting there and watching Raw for 3 hours every single week.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a big deal too. So, before you actually go out into your matches, like, do you have anything specific that you do every single time? Do you have any rituals or anything?
Not any, like, particular rituals. I always try to, like, stretch, and I usually try to drink, like, a little bit of an energy drink. That's, like, my one thing of, like, I never drink a whole energy drink. I only drink, like, maybe half of it, but it helps me for some reason. Like, I guess wake up from the travel or something. I don't know. But that's kind of, like, my go-to. Warm up a little bit, drink a little bit of that, and just, like, try to psych myself up, basically.
Do you have an energy drink of choice?
Yes, I'm a big Rain fan, but also there's this new one that I found recently. It's called like Alani, which is pretty tasty also. But basically any of the zero sugar ones.
Okay. Yeah, like the only reason, yeah, I don't know. I don't want any sugar in my energy drinks. It's gross. The sugar in my cola. So I want you to tell me when you first debuted, like your very first match in front of a crowd. Tell me about it and tell me how it went.
My very, very first match, if we want to be particular, in front of a crowd was Under a Mask. It was okay. Kind of like this, the character was basically like Miss Mystery. It only happened once. Basically, I wore all black, so nobody would know who I was. So, you know, if the match doesn't go, you know, the way you planned or something like that, you know, nobody really
knows.
You're
not ruining your reputation.
Yeah, it doesn't ruin your reputation, stuff like that. So that's my first match was under that. Technically. Mm-hmm. And then I guess my first match is Killa Kate was like in a gauntlet kind of match.
Okay. Which one were you more nervous for? Your very first match or your very first match when you're yourself?
I think the one where I was myself, right? Because you don't have anything to kind of hide behind in a way of like, I tried to tell people, I was like, I really honestly wasn't nervous. Like before it or walking out there or whatever, I think I was like more nervous afterwards, like of how people would react to it and stuff like that.
Wow. That's really interesting. So like when you, how did it go? Like it's a gauntlet match. How long were you in it?
I want to say maybe like 5 to 6 minutes. Wasn't like super long, but you know, I wasn't out there out quick, you know, I kind of lasted a little while in there, but, yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't make it to the next round though. So,
so let's talk about working as a face and a heel, because you said that you are a wisecracking paragon in Mass Effect.
Yeah.
So as a wrestler, I'm assuming at some point you've played both. And if so, which do you prefer?
It's honestly kind of hard. I guess I've been trying to figure that out myself in a way of, I kind of started originally as a heel, which is not normal in that most people don't start that way. But it was just more natural to my thinking and stuff like that. And now more so I'm transitioning into that face role. So I'm getting to kind of toy with that and see what that's like and stuff like that. So thinking about which one I like more, it's hard to say. I think that what I do like is that I'm finding more how to not just be what I think those roles should be and how more so how I should interpret them with myself, basically like trying to form, like you said, trying to find more of how you feel about yourself as a character and stuff like that. And whether it's heel or face, I think that's, not relevant to me, I guess, more so of just I'm trying to figure out who I am and whether whatever day it is, I can kind of do both. Like you said, a paragon who's kind of sarcastic. So
that's awesome. That's really cool. So talk to me about your character. Like you said, you're still trying to discover her. Like, has she changed much over the years, or are you still trying to find that next step of evolution?
Yeah, I think it's definitely changed from when I first started, and obviously always wanted to constantly change, you know, and evolve, because you do something for too long, it gets a little stale. But when I first started, it was more of a, like a silent type almost. Apparently that was the, kind of how I came off in training originally. It was like very quiet and stuff like that. But honestly, I was like, I'm just trying to figure out my environment, you know, like once I figure out, you know, what the environment and stuff is like, I can be a very, extrovert kind of person, but more so if I really don't know what's happening, I'll stick to myself and stuff like that. So originally I was definitely more quiet, more like a silent kind of like assassin type was originally the idea behind it, but I think it's definitely grown since then to where I feel like I have more of a voice, and I'm actually good at talking and stuff like that in front of crowds. So I feel like getting to use that more recently has been a really cool thing.
Okay, that's awesome. That's great. So let's talk about your favorite match you've ever had. Do you have one? And if so, tell me why it's your favorite.
Yes, I have a favorite. I guess it's the one I always go back to is It was at the first like all women show at my academy, which was kind of a big deal because we had a lot of women, but we only kind of ever, you know, had like one or two matches or something on the card, which that's not bad, you know, but we had a decent amount of people training. So we had our first ever all women's event where we brought in outside talent, stuff like that. And in the main event, I got to defend the championship against Rashe Chanel is the name she goes under currently.
Yeah. She's awesome.
Yeah, she's awesome. And that was one of my favorite matches. That's actually on YouTube and stuff like that if people want to check it out. But it was one of my favorite matches because I just feel like we have really good chemistry together. And so every time we've wrestled, it's been good. But that was the very first time we wrestled. And there was just something special about, I think, that the night plus the match coming together of where it's my favorite one.
I gotcha. That's cool. That's cool. So I want to ask you about WrestleMania weekend.
Yes.
So I know you wrestled for my good buddy, the young professor, Matt Grafer, at Best in Class. Tell me how that went. You wrestled Jenai Kai, right? She's great.
Yes, correct. I wrestled Jenai Kai. We beat each other up like crazy. I know that one's available online also if people want to check it out. Yeah, she's phenomenal. Definitely a master of kicks and stuff like that. And just to see some of the stuff that she like had posted online, stuff like that, was one thing. But to see it up close and in person, basically attacking me, was another thing. And yeah, she's definitely one to watch out for, I think, in the future, because she brings something different to the table.
Okay.
So yeah, that was
you wrestled on the same day too, right? At another show.
Yeah. So later, my academy actually went down there for a show that they were doing. So basically a couple hours later, got back in the ring with Stephanie Vaquer, I think, I'm trying to pronounce it right. Okay. But she's
I'm looking at it and I don't know how to pronounce it. I didn't want to butcher it.
I don't want to mess it up either. But she's awesome. She's from CMLL. She's also done stuff in Stardom and stuff like that. But I know that's where she's currently at. Me and her have a similar-ish style, and that we're kind of like grapplers, but she kind of brings that Lucha Libre style into it also. So that was a really fun match to do and stuff like that. And get a lot of advice from where she was currently training under Loki and stuff like that. So that was kind of crazy for me to get to talk to him and get some advice. And that he was actually the first seminar I ever did, but it was different, like having like one-on-one conversation with him, because he was one of my favorites growing up, like heavy into Ring of Honor and stuff like that. So it was like, you know, like, This is some really good stuff that he's given and stuff like that. So it's really cool to do that.
I used to watch him in TNA. He's so talented.
Yeah, he's very, very talented in the ring. I saw one of my favorite matches over the weekend was him versus Leo Rush. And it happened at like 3 o'clock in the morning. And they were out there like killing it. It was like 2 or 3 in the morning. I can't remember exactly, but they're out there killing it, and I was like, I wish more people were seeing this. Like, this is crazy.
Wow, that's awesome. That's super cool. So how did you happen to be at the WrestleMania weekend? Like, how did you get in touch with someone to appear at shows?
I never actually initially got in touch with somebody. My strategy was to kind of copy what I had seen some people done previously. Like, I saw I'm really bad and I'm forgetting, there's been a couple of wrestlers who have done that previously where they've kind of like just gone on a whim and said, hey, I'm going to be down there if anybody needs any help, you know. What was the one? Cole Radek. He's the one that I was thinking of, where I think a couple of WrestleManias ago, he kind of was just like, going to be down there. I'm trying to do, you know, just get my name out and stuff like that. And so, me and a friend literally were just like, we're not doing anything this weekend. Like, why don't we just go down there and, like, at the most, just try to help out and stuff like that, at least network and stuff like that. Cause what better place than to network around where everybody's going for wrestling and stuff like that. Right. So we literally did the same thing. I was like, let's make a post. Like, I don't care how, you know, maybe it may come off and stuff like that. Just like, hey, I want to help out wherever and stuff like that. Just let me know. And for the GCW show, it was actually Robin Reed, who I had worked with previously at Mission Pro and stuff like that, who had reached out to me with that opportunity. And I was just so grateful for that. And I was kind of blown away that, you know, I was actually going to get a match that weekend. But that definitely didn't deter us either from helping out and stuff like that. Literally that whole week, people kind of thought we were crazy and that we were helping out at shows like for 12-hour days and stuff like that. Yeah. While everybody else was at the beach or something like that. But I was like, that's why I came down here, was to meet people and stuff like that.
Yeah. That's really cool. And it's really good of you to do, because I couldn't imagine trying to run a show at WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah.
Sounds rough.
Yeah, there's a lot of background logistics and stuff like that that sometimes you just forget about that goes into it. And I have a degree in logistics, so I'm really enthralled by, I guess, that aspect of how it all works back behind the scenes and stuff like that. So to get to be a part of that and to help out in that aspect was just really cool to see. So,
yeah, that sounds cool. So let's you wrestled at the Shrine Center twice in one day, WrestleMania weekend. Mm-hmm. Tell me about the most unique place you've ever wrestled.
Ooh, there's been a couple. I just got to say about the Egypt Shrine Center real quick. I swear, the best food in all of Tampa at the barbecue stand that they had outside. I'm very forgetful today. I don't know why. But it was a... what's her name? I'm going to have to come back to it. But it was her...
It's all right.
She's former TNA Knockout. It was her barbecue...
You're talking about ODB?
Yes. I don't know.
Is it really that good?
Oh, bro, the nachos. I was like, what's the best thing on your menu? And they're like, the nachos. And I got them. It was the best thing I had in all of that weekend. Like,
that's awesome.
Yeah, so, hey, if you're going to go down there to check out any of their shows, go get some of that.
ODB's food truck. Yes. There you go.
But I guess the most unique venue, you said?
Mm-hmm.
I wrestled in a firehouse station once. I keep forgetting about that. Really? Yeah. Where they had like the pole and everything, like in the locker room that the firefighters like slide down and stuff like that. And
that's really interesting. How did that come about?
I think I just tagged along, because now that I think about it, I was thrown into like a 6-person tag match with like some other dudes. And I think I just like tagged along for the event, and they were like, you want to be in a match? And I was like, sure. Cause I was still really new at the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I actually forgot about that one. The firehouse. That's pretty crazy.
There you go. I'm bringing back memories for you. I hope good ones.
Yes.
So let's talk about role models. So I know you haven't been a huge fan of wrestling your whole life. So let's talk about some role models in the industry or even out. Who do you look up to?
There's so many. For sure, my coaches, I look up to them, and that they're just always kind of there for you to give advice and stuff like that, and for anything that you kind of need. When I try to think of like influential people across my career, people like Jazz has been one that, you know, she's always kind of like giving a lot of good advice and stuff like that. Thunder Rosa is another one. The couple times I've talked to her, Mercedes Martinez, just one of my like dream matches, basically. But she's always had a lot of insightful stuff. And then I guess like my mom would be one. I guess that's one outside of wrestling, is like my mom and dad. Despite the fact that, you know, they weren't really super into wrestling, I think they've kind of come around to it to now where they're like, when's your next match that we can come see you at and stuff like that. And
that's so cool.
Yeah. And I have to give it to them that like, they would kind of bring me to all like the independent wrestling shows in the area and stuff like that, and still drive me there, even though, you know, maybe they weren't super into it, but they kind of always supported it in a way of where they're like, this is what you want to, you know, do it, you know? Yeah. So
that's always good to hear. I love going to wrestling events, especially indie wrestling events, and seeing people's family and friends there to support them. It's a big deal, because that doesn't, unfortunately, it doesn't happen all the time.
No, yeah, it doesn't. Like, but it's understandable, right? Because we do how many shows and stuff like that. So it's exactly, people have kind of busy lives. So every time that I have someone that I know outside of my Wrestling Life, like, attend a show, I always think of it as, like, something very special because they took the time to either drive all the way out here or, you know, come see me. So those are always, like, really cool moments.
Yeah, that's really great. Well, cool. So let's talk about, especially since you haven't been a wrestling fan your whole life, I want you to give us some tips on someone that wants to pursue a wrestling career. Like, how can someone get their foot in the door? What do you recommend?
What I honestly did is I didn't know the scene anymore. I was really into the Dallas-Fort Worth indie scene when I was kind of, like, in high school and stuff like that. And so Once I finished college, I was like, well, I kind of want to do this, so let me try it. But I didn't really know what kind of promotions and stuff were running currently. So I literally just Googled professional wrestling, my city, and kind of looked at some of the results that popped up basically off of that. Yeah. Of course, you always kind of want to look and see. Like, I looked at some of their show posters and stuff like that, for events maybe they had run and stuff like that. And a big one with mine was, like, I saw Keith Lee on one of the posters, who was always kind of like a staple of this area. So I was like, oh, if he works here, then I know they're kind, you know, legitimate in a way. Most schools will let you do, like, a tryout of some sort, whether it's coming to a couple classes or they kind of have, like, a set tryout. So I always recommend people go to that and see how you feel, you know, after a week or something like that. I always am a firm believer of, like, you should try it, you know, like, you're never going to know if it's for you or not until you give it a try. So those are good opportunities to see it, because the one thing you don't want to do is, like, you know, regret it years later when you're like, I wish I could have, you know, I wish I would have tried it. Just go and see, you know, you're never going to know. So that's the big one. And then, like I said, go to a legitimate school. There's a lot of places out there that may not give you the best training or may try to rip you off and stuff like that. So that's one of the things that I've always been told is, like, look at their kind of family tree history of, you know, where they came from or who they've trained and stuff like that. So.
Yeah. Okay. That's cool. Yeah, that absolutely makes sense. Chris Jericho, I've said this before on the podcast, but Chris Jericho said that, you know, he can generally talk to someone, ask them who trained them, and he can, you know, tell if they're going to be a good wrestler or not, just because what school they went to.
Yeah. The fundamentals honestly really do make a big difference. And just, like, how you learn, because it's harder to unlearn something, right? Once you've learned it a particular way. So, While I always say there's not, like, a wrong way to do things in wrestling, there's an unsafe way. So just want to make sure you're getting trained at a place that's doing things safely.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, cool. So what do you use as your finisher?
Currently I use the rear naked choke, but I've also over the past year or so started using this, full Nelson, flatliner, which I call the snapback, but it was originally called the Hearst Donut by Johnny Gargano.
Okay, that's pretty cool. So full Nelson flatliner.
Yeah.
So a flatliner is when you're face to face with someone, correct?
Kind of. So they're gonna fall basically on their face. So basically, you pop them up almost like glam slam style in a way, in a full Nelson, and then you turn them while they fall on their face.
Oh, that sounds awesome. Yeah. Okay, cool. I'm in.
So sometimes I'll literally roll over after that and grab him into the choke also. So,
yeah. All right. So let's talk about dream matches.
Yes.
If you could wrestle anybody from any point in wrestling history, anytime, it's a number one match. If you're like, yes, I want to wrestle this person, who would that person be and why?
Oh, you took it back even further.
I know. I'm telling you.
All of history.
Yeah.
It's so hard to pick one.
I know. It's okay to say more than one. You're not going to offend me. And if any listeners complain, then that's on them.
Okay.
That's it. Yeah.
Well, I have.
You know what?
Yeah.
They're not here. We're talking.
I have my three go-to, but I'll say the first one first, because now that it's a possibility, right? So Mickie James is the first one, since that might be a possibility again. I don't know if she's going to continue wrestling or not, obviously. Her, Mercedes Martinez, and then Ember Moon. So,
okay.
That's my three.
Awesome. That's a really great three.
Yes.
I just absolutely spectacular women wrestlers. So Mission Pro has a show coming up on June the 12th that you can actually view, I believe you said, on the Title Match Network.
That is correct.
So tell me a little bit about it.
About the show or title match?
Yeah. No, about the show.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so Mission Pro is currently an all-women's promotion run by Thunder Rosa, and also Jazz helps out there as well. And they run out of the Buda, Texas area, mostly. I know they're going to possibly start doing some more outside stuff. Like you were talking about, they're doing a festival, a taco festival very soon.
Yeah, in Jacksonville.
Yeah, and so for the past, I want to say maybe a year-ish, they've been running shows down in Buda, Texas, kind of putting a big emphasis on the local women's wrestlers, as well as bringing outside talent and stuff like that. And they've had a lot of great stars come down and stuff like that, as well as the helping build up the local scene as well. So I'll be wrestling there for my third time a part of their events in a tag team match. It's going to be me and Kenzie Page versus the Renegade Twins. So that's going to be very interesting, because my first match at Mission Pro was a tag match where we won. So I'm looking to to win it again, you know.
Was Kenzie Page your tag team partner then?
She was not. So this is going to be our first time teaming together. But I've seen a lot of her stuff online and stuff like that. So I'm really excited to team up with her and see how that goes.
I've watched some of her stuff too. She's really talented. Mm-hmm. I don't believe I've seen anything of the Renegade Twins yet. Mm-hmm. So I'll have to give them a shout too after this is over.
I think one of them was recently on AW Dark, I want to say, is where I recognize them from. But I don't think I've seen any of their matches together yet. So they might have a little bit of an advantage though, because like they're twins, right? So
yeah, exactly. They've been, that twin magic.
Yeah,
right?
They've been around each other for all their lives. So we got a lot of catching up to do, me and Kenzie.
Yeah. Awesome. So let's talk about your store. I know you have a pro wrestling tease. Tell us where we can find you.
So it's going to be at Pro Wrestling Tees under Wrestle/WrestleKate. Right now up there, I just have some of my past designs that are like no longer under print. Like usually I'll have t-shirts with me of like my brand new design, but if anybody wants to get any of the past ones I no longer carry, they're all available on Pro Wrestling Tees. So you can still get your favorite size. I recommend you get the soft shirts, cause I'm all about the quality here. So their soft shirts are really good.
I always get soft shirts from Pro Wrestling Tees. They're great.
Yeah, I'm like, pay the extra, however little much it is. It's
like $3. Yeah, I mean, it's nothing.
It's always worth it. Right now I'm dealing with that with my merch, where I'm like a very big quality person. So if it's not up to my standards, I want to make sure that I get you the softest shirt and the best print and stuff like that. Cause people are paying their hard earned money with this. So, you know,
That's great. Now I'm sitting here and I think I might've found my favorite t-shirt I've ever seen in my life. You can probably guess which one it was. Tell me what your nickname is, Kate.
My nickname? I guess it would just be like, you know, Submission Savvy is kind of, I guess, what I'm going with right now.
Perfect. So there's a t-shirt here. This is Killa Kate. And it says arm bar, knee bar, taco bar. It's the greatest shirt I've ever seen in my life. And the next time I place an order, this one's coming. It's so good. It's so good. So do you have, now I know you said you have some newer shirts. Do you have a site where we can purchase the new shirts, or should we just DM you and contact you directly?
I'm working on a site right now. Once I get the new shirts kind of finalized with that design, I'm working on basically releasing that site with that and stickers and all that stuff available. But like I said, it's a work in progress right now. So the Pro Wrestling Tees store is the only site I have. But I'm glad you like that shirt. It's actually like based on a taco place that's out of Laredo, Texas. It's a fun story of where we all kind of went there after a show one time, and it was my first time there, and I was kind of blown away at this place. So that's kind of where the shirt idea came from. So
so listen, my next and final question to you was going to be, do you have any cool stories to share? And I think the taco bar shirt, that story needs to be told.
I guess there's nothing like super crazy about it. It was after a show in Laredo. We did like a double show. One was like some business's Christmas party, I think. And then it was also tied up with a show. And it was a Thunder Rosa actually, who was like, we're all going to be going to this place called Taco Palenque. So we showed up there afterwards, and I was just enthralled that like this place was open late. They had like a bar with like a bunch of stuff you could put on your tacos, and I was all about it, basically. So then I ended up coming up with the, you know, knee bar, arm bar, oh, taco bar.
Yeah, it's absolutely terrific. Okay, now I'm having to look up Taco Palenque. Oh, so it's kind of the same little logo there.
Yeah, yep, that's exactly.
That's so cool. I dig it. So you like the tacos so much that, yeah, that's great. That's so good. Well, listen, when you have the new store come out, let me know, and we'll make sure to share it on our social media. I'm sure people will be eager to check it out. So let's, speaking of social media, we'll talk about that. Where can we find you?
You can find me at WrestleKate on Twitter and Instagram. That simple.
Okay. Easy peasy. Now, do you have your own YouTube channel? I know that I found a bunch of your matches on YouTube.
I believe I do, but I think it only has kind of like one match uploaded right now. I've been kind of working on trying to get that. Sometimes it's kind of hard to get your match footage to where you can upload it on YouTube. Because a lot of places are kind of partnering with, like, you know, different video streaming services nowadays and stuff like that. But some of my matches are available online, so that's probably the best way, is just to type in Killa Kate onto the YouTube, and then you'll see a selection of them there.
A lot of good stuff. A lot of good stuff. Well, Kate, thanks for hanging out with me this last 30-plus-ish minutes. I appreciate it, and I know everyone loved learning about you.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm glad. I'm so glad. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is Wrestle Life Radio, and this has been Indie Focus. My name is Matt Sin. You can follow Wrestle Life Radio on Instagram and Facebook at Wrestle Life Radio and at Wrestle Life Pod on Twitter. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Wrestle Life Matt. And remember to follow Killa Kate, support Killa Kate, buy a Killa Taco shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com/WrestleKate, or just search Wrestle Kate on Pro Wrestling Tees. Ladies and gentlemen, we hope you all have an absolutely wonderful day.